when I look at people who are at year 10, their lifestyle looks like what goes on in year three, the third stage. Mm. It like just all starts to kind of repeat. And you just then start to realize, oh, the whole thing is just a deconditioning lifestyle over and over and over. And as I learn about myself, like right now I'm learning about it, but I'm being conditioned by you all in some way. And then as I keep going and keep learning, it shifts again. You know what I mean?
These are practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
Season finale territory. I have brought my vape. I'm here for a good time.
Oh, not a long time.
Not a long time.
Not a long time. Die at any fucking moment. Fell in the shower today.
Oh my God. We are here for a long time. This is our fifth season. We are here for a long time.
Can we just say that I just want to say that's impressive for me. And the reason that I think it still stays alive is because it's done in seasons. Because there's an endpoint, I'm allowed to like disconnect from it. Cause like, if it was like constantly ongoing, it would have petered out. I wouldn't have been able to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was like a huge, I'm glad we did that the way we did. Cause coordinating four is hard.
Yeah.
You know, especially as everybody gets busier.
Well, it's not that hard.
I think it's so hard.
Is it?
Yeah. You guys, I'm the one who always reaches out and tries to wrangle you all together. I'm sure you don't think that's hard, but it is. You got to figure out everybody's schedules. You got to plan ahead. Got to plan, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. We have like getting a little bit more of spaciousness in our lives now, I notice, just as we go even through our own deconditioning process. And so it's spacious in that nobody cares too much, right? Like if it's like, oh, you can't make it, it's like kind of like whatever. But I wanted to talk to you guys about the deconditioning stages that I watch. As I've been watching people for years now and then seeing new personalities like come into the human design space, there really are these like key stages that people move through. And like the first one is everybody's so hella excited and they learn all about their this and all about their that. And I'm a gate 30 this and this, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, and that's why I'm so like this. And it's kind of egotistical. Like we just get so excited about all our amazingness, you know? Then it moves away from that of like learning all the things. And usually in the second stage, people will start working with it in some way. Like they might open up a reading or they might be telling or something usually happens there. But that's when they start to enter into like dogmatic philosophies, because when you're confronting your past and your life and you're learning human design, you realize you've made all these rules for your reality. Right, wrong, good, bad, this, that, like all the this, that in human design. It really starts to get in the second stage going into the third stage. And that's where we start to kind of develop these opinions. And we're not really actually super aware of how dogmatic we are, but we're starting to deal with it there. Then when we get into the third stage, this just kind of mirrors like the third line. That's when there's usually some types of bonds that shift. And you see people have been in this for like 3 years. And their circles are kind of changing, or they break up with human design in a way, and then they're no longer about it and they hate it or whatever. There's like a moment of like not loving it. Then in think of everything we know about the four, there's this year of like detach, you move away from it and you start to reclaim like your old tools and like the things you used to really love. And you kind of start doing this synergy and you are looking at who you resonate with and who you connect with. And so there's like new kind of relationships that happen. And then in like the fifth stage, it's like, who are my sources and where do I go to for what? And I know this and I don't know that. And I don't care about this and I care about that. You start to really think about what we know about the five, what we know about valleys even. And then the sixth stage is like, almost like you're trying something again. I don't know. It's like you are looking at it differently. There's an acceptance. There's a piece of who you are and who you aren't. And you don't care so much about these things. And then there's this whole big thing about the seven years. It takes 7 years to decondition. Well, what I'm now thinking is it's just, you're just moved through those six stages of what we all learn through in human design. And the seven, it kind of really starts over. Because when I look at people who are at year 10, their lifestyle looks like what goes on in year three, the third stage. Mm. It like just all starts to kind of repeat. And you just then start to realize, oh, the whole thing is just a deconditioning lifestyle over and over. And as I learn about myself, like right now I'm learning about it, but I'm being conditioned by you all in some way. And then as I keep going and keep learning, it shifts again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it's a little different, but I agree because of my completely open G center. I feel like I'm always deconditioning. I feel like I'm always changing.
Me too.
I feel like
that's my point. I think it's a constant, like you don't reach this pinnacle at year seven.
No.
Like, oh, I'm gonna do no. That's so not what it is. It just like, it's a cycle that constantly recycles.
Yeah. It's like keeps going, keeps resetting. I mean, this year already, God, has been so emotional. And I was thinking actually right before a while ago, I was just like, God, am I going to be crying all fucking year? Like, cause I can't do this.
I love that shit.
I'm in a 11-2 year. This is supposed to be a magical year. Like, let's hone it on in. Let's bring it on home.
You guys, wait, can I tell you something about that? Rachel and AC, you both speak about numerology a lot. And that was something I was like aware of, but it wasn't like one of my main languages of awareness. And you guys bringing that into my life has made life so fun in these new ways. And like knowing that, like, oh, I'm in a year five. I like always reference, like with my friends, Rachel's little PDF. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always like, what are you in? And we're like referencing it. Or AC will have these certain oh my God, AC, you're teaching about like, oh, if you see 333 or 444, don't worry so much about like what those numbers mean. But what were you thinking about in those moments when you notice those numbers? I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Cause I'm always thinking about something great.
Well, because I like to say, my phrase that I say is, you know, the universal year is the season and your personal year number is the weather.
Fun, AC.
And so when I got into numerology, probably in college, it just helped me have a better framework for the energies that were going to happen for the year. It just made it easier. So it was less hard. And what I mean by that is just like, okay, if I know I'm in a 1 year, these are things that I can expect. So like this year is considered the fame year, a year of like a higher octave of it's a master year for me. So I'm an 11-2 year. And I know friends who have had their 11-2 year and like amazing things have happened to them. And I'm just like, all right, spirit, when's it starting? Because I've been crying the last couple of, even though it,
whenever you're ready.
I have a theory, and some numerologists don't like this theory, but I believe that your personal year is from birthday to birthday. Some people think it's from January to December, but that doesn't make sense if your birthday is December like 30th.
Well, I say birthday to birthday because that's what you two taught me, and I just do what you do.
Yes. So Rachel thinks the same too. So birthday to birthday. And so my 11-2 year hasn't started yet. I'm still in a 1 year.
Right.
But the energies of the numerology personal year, I always tell people to just look at that and just keep that in mind. Like take a mental Rolodex. So when these things happen, you are more aware of, okay, you're not so blind. Would you agree, Rachel? Like you're just not so blind at the fact that, oh, I'm in a, you know, if you're in a personal year, 4 or 6, sending you all the love. But if you're in those years, you can not be so blind to the energies that are happening around you.
Yeah, I think it helps when things start to happen. It just helps you mentally organize them and make sense of them, which takes away a lot of the angst or confusion or...
It also just makes it fun though, too.
Oh yeah, it's super fun also.
Numerology isn't one of the primary awareness languages usually associated around human design, but as I've been in human design longer, astrology's always been there. I come from the astrology world. Mm-hmm. That's how I moved into human design. But Gene Keys has gotten really loud the further I go. Mm-hmm. Like people really like Gene Keys. I really have been influenced and inspired by Richard Rudd's approach to sharing information and presenting in this sort of contemplation way. That's definitely how I like to translate things rather than some of the directness that I learned from Ra. You know, they're different design types. but just I liked how Richard presented things. And I took note of that kind of thing. But Gene Keys with astrology, with human design is now like all these languages many of us speak. And we're so able to like connect to each other, understand each other, hold space for each other. Like, I can't even tell you the amount of times like someone finds out I'm a manifester and I feel them give me more grace because they are like, oh, okay, that's why I'm feeling whatever it is I'm feeling.
Right.
And they're kinder to me. So I get so from the manifester perspective, I really, when people start fighting and they're whatever stage they're at, I don't really care because it's like, okay, that's just where they are. They have to move through that. We don't have to delete that. That's just a necessary stage we all move through. And so I can hold a lot of space and compassion for these people because that's, I'm just seeing what stage they're at. So don't have to judge them too harshly or don't have to, you know, and that I can be that way because that has been how I've been received in the space. Like there have been people who are like, okay, ego manifester. I have some context of what that actually means. So I somewhat know what to expect from you. And so they're kind. The study has made me kinder to like fellow humans because of the grace they've shown me.
Well, that's the whole reason to do it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I think it was great for my own self-awareness, but understanding what everyone else is kind of going through and like where they're coming from, it's huge for me.
Huge for me too. Otherwise, like I was taking everything so personally,
me
thinking
too.
It was my fault. I was bad. And I just created this whole villainous narrative inside, making it septic to be alive.
Yeah.
And then I started to learn like, oh my God, no, they're just being a 2-4 or they're just being a 1-3 or being a 3-5. Or whatever.
I mean, people were just annoying me.
Yeah.
Like everyone was annoying me and now they don't. And I'm like, oh, you got to just move at your own pace. But
yeah, I really don't get annoyed the same way.
Yeah. Like also just let me get around you. I'm getting around you.
So thanks, manifesting generator.
I am. I'm circumventing and I'm not letting people, like I used to do this thing where I would stop and wait and be like, ooh, you're freaking me out. Like I need to go. And now I'm just like, walk and talk or get out of my way. And people know that about me and they'll get on board. Nobody gets mad at me. I always thought they would.
I want to tell you guys something. In the early years of studying human design, trying to figure it all out, kind of being like a rogue learner and doing, you know, finding your own way through it, teach yourself, whatever, that whole thing. I remember feeling very chesty and egotistical. Like I need 7 fucking years, piss off. Like, I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not there. I'm not elite. Like I was just like ready to challenge, you know, then you move through the motions and you get closer to the end and you're like, I know nothing. I want to go back to the start. I realize anything could happen. Like the ego suddenly has gone through this like little moment of like, you come close to the end, you reach the end, you move past the end and you realize I'm just right back at the beginning. I'm just have these set of lessons. I'm going to have to move through them. The only thing that changes, like I can't avoid those lessons and challenges. The only thing that makes it different is my awareness of what's going on within me and around me as I navigate reality and come up against things on my path. Like that's not going to change. Life doesn't necessarily get better or worse.
No.
Like you're always going to have challenge. You're always going to.
Yeah. It's just how you react and respond.
It's just training your awareness.
And it just becomes the right challenges for you, the right life for you. That's how I always describe it. It's like, this isn't like hack your way to manifest your dream life. It's not, it is in a way, but it's like, it's hack your way to live the life that's meant for you, not necessarily good or bad.
Oh yeah. Like, to be clear, like when I look at where my life started on this journey to where it is now, I'm living the life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I would agree. I would say, before when I first started my human design journey, but what is this 20? Damn. So like 13 years ago,
It's fucked. As time starts moving. You're like, holy shit.
I was more about, I'm going to create opportunities so I can get invitations. And now it's just like, God, whatever invitations you got that are specifically for me and me only.
Can't deliver them, please.
Send. I literally pray that like, whatever is for me. I was just in the shower yesterday. I said, God, whatever is for me and me only, please make it so that I do not miss out on that invitation. So if you have to kick me and then I have to see it, like this is for you. Like I want it specifically for me, relationships, love, like this is yours. Those are the only type of invitations I want. I'm gonna show up, do what I need to do. But the invitations that I want have my name written in gold on them with sparkles.
You know how this feels for me? Like I don't have the invitation experience. And like you really make it sound so alluring and wonderful. I have to tell you, like, ooh, that must be fun getting this incredible invite.
It's amazing.
I am in this space now where like I look out on the playing field of life and I'm scanning the horizons, and it's more of like, do I know what I want? You know, because I'm so guided by my wants. And a lot of my lessons and journeying was learning I'm not fully in connection with that, even though I think I am, and learning how innocent and simple my wants are and how it doesn't have to be this big, complex, save the world thing. Like I can get so much joy out of wanting something like a soft sweater, you know? And the more I allowed myself to satiate, have those wants, I started to get stronger and stronger, but I started to move into this space of like wanting to be wielded by a greater mission, like with others. That's a big lesson for me. Like, I'm like, I want to move towards something greater, and learning just about my ego just through the whole deconditioning process. Oh my God. And everything we learned was spacious. Like spacious was a huge ego journey for me, and learning about leadership and wanting to have impact and like so badly. I haven't fucking told you guys this. Oh my God. At this phase, this stage, wherever I'm at, I've been noticing people review me. And I was on YouTube the other day and got recommended this video of somebody reviewing Vanessa Henry's Spacious app.
Wow.
I'm immediately annoyed because I'm like, it's not Vanessa Henry's.
And I was the byproduct and I got cursed out that day.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I was like, I was upset that it was perceived that way. And it was humbling because this is a pattern that happens to me. Whatever I'm involved in, people will go, it's like Vanessa Henry's Each Other podcast. That was another one I saw piss me off again. And I'm like, what the hell? Oh, because you do the intro. I'm like, well, because somebody has to do the intro. Like somebody has to do it. So it was just kind of realizing like they're writing reviews about me and my family and my whole life as if I'm even fucking someone that somebody would care to read about. But that was fucking weird. And I'm trying so hard to stay small and not be seen, to not piss anybody off, because I'd fucking piss everybody off all the time. And I was just like, and they're reviewing me anyway, and they're going to critique and judge me anyway. And it became so empowering that I was like, yeah. I haven't even shown you half of what I can do.
I didn't even show you what I could do yet.
You want me to lead? Yeah. You want me to own it? Like, whoa, it was crazy. And then I'm like, you're so silly sounding. Like, who do you think you are?
I love that.
But I mean, you need that though.
I think, do. Yeah.
Not just you. I think we all need that, is because if that ticked you off, well, let me really get you upset. Like that's how
I don't want to be upset. But it was freeing in that they're going to say something anyway.
Right. They're going to say something anyway. I might as well give you a show now.
You might as well. I might as well put, if you're going to watch me, well, then let me put on a show for you. That's how I felt.
But you're also not here to be small. You're not here to do that. You're not. Yeah. So you doing that is like a little, that's like a disservice.
But sometimes that's what I'm saying. But sometimes we need that trigger to be like, hold on.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Like, you're right. I'm not this meek little person that's going to let you get like the best of me because you're reviewing my show or something that I've created.
Right.
Now I'm going to do more. I'm going to create more. I mean, even though I was in that moment with her, I'm so glad it happened because Vanessa's so talented. And when you all hear,
are we going to be receiving compliments? Let me turn up my speaker.
Because when you hear our project that we're working on, it makes me happy because it's so funny because I used to want to be a songwriter. And when I was in high school, I used to write a song every day.
Wow.
And I found all of my songwriting folders with all the songs and they're like categorized. Male vocalist, female vocalist. So I found all of those and I found them today. And I was just like, it felt like just a full circle moment of everything that I'm doing creatively that I'm like, oh, I was supposed to be on this path anyway. It just took me a long time to get there. But I say all that to say is that sometimes you need that like trigger because I hope that through this project, not only does my creativity shine, but that Vanessa, you know, we all get our flowers from this because it's just really like what we're doing and creating is very like, it's dope as fuck. It's nobody's doing it. And it's going to like change the landscape of sound and the way that you hear stuff.
Yeah.
And amazing. I want her to step into that so much more.
Okay. That's what you want. Okay. I want to tell you guys what Jazz said to me the other day, because I was working through this like thing of like finding reviews on the internet. I even found like new reviews of the Each Other podcast, because in Canada, I only see the Canada ones. And then I didn't realize you could toggle per country. So suddenly it was like, oh my God, every country I go to, there's different reviews. Holy shit. And then like what people were saying. So I was kind of like grappling with that. And fucking Jazz says to me, she's like, she's cross of tension. Okay. I absolutely adore that cross. But she says to me, she's like, I really noticed that when you share real, you're very beautiful. And she's like, and then in your stories, you're like silly. And I'm an experimenter like you. And I don't know more than you. She's like, shut the fuck up. You know more than me. You know more than us.
Yeah.
You can't like, you need to claim that and own that now and show your beautiful goddamn face. And I was like, oh my God, I was expecting her to tell me you're too much when you're all done up, tone it down. And so when she said basically tone it up, I was like,
dial it up.
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah.
I know. What a weird thing though. What a weird thought.
Yeah.
Because heaven forbid I should upset someone. You know,
but like upset, who's the someone?
I don't know.
Who gives a shit? I don't know. I think that part of the deconditioning process is getting rid of that, whatever that little thing is inside your head. That's like when you get the feeling that like, ooh, I better just like tighten. I better just be little. Like
I'm with
no,
you.
I mean, you could be, you can be little and you can be cute, but I mean, I just don't think it suits. It's not who I experience you as. You know,
yeah.
So I think like when I think about you, I think about powerhouse person who's like on their shit. And like I actually just said, my boss is a manifester and we were talking about vision. And I said, oh, when my friend Vanessa has a big picture vision, like I just go, okay, like I'll do it. Like I just do it because I know it's going to work out. Like it's going to do something and it's just what we're doing. And she was like, oh, I think I'm like that in my life too. But she's a little bit of a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I try not to be like too much. She always prefaces things by saying, I don't want to offend you, but I'm like, dude, you're never going to offend
me. It's a trauma
me.
Response.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like you're not going to offend me. And if you do, I'm going to say, hey, bro, you're offending me. But I think too, for me, the thing I'm deconditioning right now is the way that I behave in relationships. And this last situation for me was kind of like reading the reviews. Like you reading the reviews, because I suddenly was like, oh, wait a second. Like, no, I don't have to do any of this shit. Like, I don't have to make a choice to like stay here and take this kind of, you know, this kind of shit relationship or be single and miserable. Like I can actually do whatever I want. Who, me? You know, like it's so exciting. Yeah. And so now I'm like, I just signed up for vocal lessons and I'm going to be singing.
I love this for you.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to really be singing, but I am going to be singing, but not like in front of people. And I have to pick two songs to sing. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like having open head, like freak out. Like, how do I pick two songs? But then my mom reminded me.
I would love to swoop in and help here because I used to be a vocal coach and I'm so lit up that you're doing this.
Okay. Well, we'll do it after.
Okay, wait. What do you love to sing when you're feeling good? Where does your voice go?
I don't know.
You'll notice now that I pointed it out.
I will.
It's going to come. And then just notice what that song is for you.
My Spotify wrap up had 144 genres of music. So like, I'm very oh, I'll listen to this and this and this. So then I'm like, oh, I don't know. So anywho, my point being is that like, I would not do those things. Just like a couple years ago when I ended a relationship, I got my art studio. Like I wouldn't have done those things unless like something kind of had to shake me up and go, what the hell are you doing? Like you are king, get your shit together.
Yes.
Go do your stuff. So I think that's part of, that's like an ongoing part of life.
I would totally agree with that. Especially us sharing, you know, our little Pisces delusion and things like that together.
Neptune.
You guys are so agreeable this season. Past seasons, you haven't been.
We've been cantankerous.
You've been cantankerous.
Well, I think that because there's, you know, we're both Pisces, we both live on our Neptune line now.
Oh yeah, AC moved. Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why I moved.
Yeah,
I moved. But the deconditioning from the old self, especially how I showed up in relationship, I will agree on that. Like I will not
I'm moving differently when it comes to romantic relationships, that it feels so good. But I'm thankful for the way that, you know, the relationships that I did have last year ended, because it was like, what are you doing? Like, you're a fucking brown. Like,
right. What are you doing?
Kidding me? Like, get your shit together. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing? Like, this is not you. Like, I hate to say it like this, but like, you're somebody. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Like,
but also don't hate to say that, because I mean, everybody is somebody, right?
Yes.
It's not like, that's not like, to me, that's not an egoic thing to say, because we all are. And it's like when we're settling or we're showing up in a way that's inauthentic.
Yes.
And I think for me, fawning is inauthentic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, the whole time I'm like, single definition, defined heart, MG. When I'm fawning, that's bullshit. I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to do it. And I'm doing it because you want me to do it. And I'm going to eventually be pissed. And this is making me feel cloistered. So I can't do it. I have to be single.
My learning hasn't been, well, I've had romantic lessons, but it's really been through my friendships. I have really lost friendships along the deconditioning path. Mm. And now some of those people have started to speak out publicly about that. And I've watched those come in and I'm like, realizing I'm in a better space, because now hearing people I'm no longer in relationship with, like, I hope nobody assumes I have ill will there.
Right.
You know, but people naturally do. And it's so funny to me. I'm like, wow, that's really new for me. Like, I really do have peace in my heart with my relationships. People who are no longer in my life have moved into this territory of being my teachers. Mm-hmm. And I am actually in deep relationship with them. And so when I see them speaking out about me, I'm like, they're processing, and it's actually good. Whatever they say about me, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't actually matter, but they're moving through the motions of expressing it. And I'm actually happy to see that, even though I'm not taking it indirectly, because that doesn't feel safe for me, but I hear about it. And everybody comes and tells me.
They're reviewing you. More reviews.
They're reviewing me. Yeah. Thanks, Rachel. I'm really having to come to peace with not even realizing I was being reviewed, and then getting this onslaught, and then having to think, like, why are you reviewing me in the first place? Who cares to even read about this review? Who are you talking to? And it was just a two-line moment, I suppose. I don't know. Like,
yeah. Don't see me.
But it really made me kind of feel afraid. Yeah. Like, you know, but then it ultimately became empowering. But my lessons, like, Rachel and I went through a really tough time during Spacious. And Rachel showed me, you know, you can move through challenges with such grace. And then it just, like, became the expectation I started to have for my relationships. And honestly, Rachel and I's relationship has been changed since that, and shaped since that. And I'm even still, like, learning from that, you know? So my teachers have really been through my friendships. Obviously, my romantic partner is a teacher to me, but when I really look at it, it's there's something so special about friendship. And it doesn't get the same spotlight as, like, romance or parenting all the time, but it's such a wonderful teacher. And yet we're, like, so hard on our friends sometimes, and the expectations we have for them, and what we say to them. Like, if you think about it, those are the people you have the hardest conversations in life with.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have those challenging conversations with strangers, but with your people. And who are those people? For me, that's been the biggest teaching in this space.
I have the biggest romance with a couple of my friends. Platonic romance. It's lovely.
Yeah. That's the feeling.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's so nice. And I like it because, at least for me, I mean, you might be the opposite, because you're in this dedicated, you know, connected.
Right. That's just my circumstance.
Like, monogamous relationship. It's like you're seen. Yeah. And for me, so for you, like, friends may come and go, but for me, my friends are static. Like, they stay and they're constant, and they're like my rocks. And so I have deep, deep connections, especially this is the last few years. I think since COVID, this is the first time in my life where I'm like, oh, I really have really wonderful women friends.
And me too, but it's online.
I've got you guys online, but I have, like, real, like, I have brick and mortar friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have many
real
anymore.
People.
I've pulled myself away, though. Hermit phase. Rachie, deconditioning. What's going on in that world?
I think the last year for me, it was a lot of mental deconditioning.
Yeah.
More so when I reflected on it, I was like, oh yeah, the first, it's all, you know, all of it is somewhat mental because that's where our not self speaks to us. However, at first, during the first couple of years, I was really focused on, okay, learning how to let my energy go where it wants to go, only doing things I enjoy, things like that. I realized recently that's just a given now. I don't do anything I don't want to do. Like I live that 24/7. Like I feel no creative blocks.
So natural now.
Like I remembered back to a time where if I got an idea about a creative thing, I would immediately have that terrible, like, shame feeling, or like, I can't do that, or like, that's cringe, or I mean, I didn't have that word back then, but basically that's what it was. Like, it would just like, it hurt kind of. And now if I get a creative burst of energy, I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'll do that. I'll put that out in the world. Like, I just don't judge those impulses anymore. But what I noticed was I kind of thought that would like fix my problems. And what I realized that actually, even though my energy was going toward all these things that I found super satisfying, I still had a lot of negative thoughts about myself and my life. And so a lot of it this year was just deconditioning those. And I think as a defined head and ajna person, it's easy to get really stuck in those beliefs and ideas.
I agree.
And they kind of just go on loops. And just getting rid of those loops has brought a lot more joy and openness into my life. And I'm definitely not fully there yet, but that's the process I'm in now.
Rachie, how'd you get rid of your loops?
Part of it is just becoming aware of them and choosing a different, basically realizing that I could actually just choose a different thought because my thoughts felt so true to me or so set in stone. And really what I realized was, oh, if I'm having that thought, I don't need to like fixate on that because I really would like create that reality and instead be like, oh, actually, no, like this is the reality I want to go to. And then just choose that one and then see what happens. Because basically it's like really for everybody else, the reality, it was like the same, like to an extent, like I don't really think that much about other people, but sometimes you get those thoughts about, oh, it's cringe to say this or put this out there, or show myself in this way. But eventually I just realized, well, in one of them,
you stop caring.
In one reality, I'm happy and well paid and like creatively fulfilled. And in the other one, no, like no one else really cares. And then I'm just not any of those things. So why wouldn't I just choose the one where I'm happy and in both everybody else is still happy or sad or whatever they are. Yeah.
They're not like really having a reaction to whatever it is you're choosing to think.
And it really helped me see how we really do all live in our own worlds in that way. Yeah. We really are creating our own reality. While it is a shared reality, it's not in a mental way.
No.
So I think I really learned that.
Yeah. And a big teaching then comes like, take accountability for your wellness.
Yeah. I like to ask, is this true? Like I say that to myself all the time. Is this, is that true? Because I don't like questioning yourself is really a good idea.
Yeah. And my host would do the same. Is this absolutely true? That's how we say it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it never is.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, it's really hard to be absolutely true.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That's my capital T truth, you know, like, but even just a little inkling, if there's like a little, like, oh, I can like peel it back a little bit. I'm like, oh, I don't need to be going down that rabbit hole. I'm just like inventing problems right now for no good reason. Think a better thought.
AC, final thoughts, season 5.
Life is going to get really magical this year and I can't wait.
I'm ready.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a Human Design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.